Blog Talk Radio.
There we go, our trusty, rusty, squeaky door that welcomes you to Eerie House, Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Dave Binkley from Witness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and we're here with, believe it or not...
It is I, Fogsbane! No. Good old Bob! No. It is I, God of the Ghoul! Boy, there you go. All right.
There you go. And welcome to the drive-in. It's Alfred Hitchcock double feature weekend, movie one tonight. Maybe not so eerie of a story, but still a Hitchcock tale nonetheless. Mr. and Mrs. Smith from Lux Radio Theater.
Yeah.
I just thought it was bad relationship weekend. I did not understand the Alfred Hitchcock vibe.
Hey, those,
there. It was just like,
those can turn, as you well know, as all three of us know, those can turn into horror stories, can they not?
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah. The more I listen, the more I was like, wait a second, this happened to me. No.
It is a horror
something like
story.
That. Yeah. It is. No. Hey, I want my money back. Hey.
Carol Lombard reprises her role from the movie.
Dale's swimming again.
Yeah, Dale is a creature from the black. I don't know what happened, but I think I'm wet. I don't know what's going on.
There you go. So they should be back now.
Well, let's hope.
There you are.
Okay, yep. There we go.
There I am. There
you
I am.
A lot of swimming lessons tonight, Dale. I don't know.
I blame Blog Talk. I blame Blog Talk and the cat.
And the cat.
Okay.
And the cat.
Yeah,
that's
the
right.
Dog is still not allowed down into the dungeon, is it?
No. He would create a tremendous ruckus of damage, and he's a big bumbling oaf.
Wow.
There are delicate things down here. Like robots.
Wow.
As you well know.
Robots. Robot. Oh, yeah, there are a few robots down there.
Yep, and models. No dogs.
Yeah.
No dogs.
And
cat is good.
And yet you've got a cat down there. Now, I've seen so many of these little things online where cats are knocking things off shelving.
He doesn't do that.
Yeah, I have
mine
three
does.
Cats. Once did they sit there, you know what, that needs to come off that shelf. It's like, never, nope. Mine
no,
didn't
he's
do
never
that.
Done it either.
No, they just knock it off they knock it off my desk, and I got to play hide and go seek for it.
Yeah.
So do we blame the parents for that activity? What is going on with that?
Yes,
they
blame
didn't
the parent
do that.
Cat.
Yeah.
Blame the mother cat.
Yeah.
It's the mom cat. Mm. She was out catting around instead of raising her babies right. So I blame mommy
there
cat.
There you go.
Hanging around
unless
the cat house or whatever. I don't know.
Dogsbane says always blame the cat unless there's the smell, then blame the dog.
Yes. Then you blame the dog.
The cat would never admit to that anyway. Yeah.
Damage you blame on the cat.
Yeah.
Smells you blame on the dog.
Okay.
That's how it works in Erie House anyway. I don't know. No, good story today, and Robert Montgomery's role is replaced by Bob Hope. By Bob Hope.
Ernest Borgnine.
From one Bob to another Bob. Yep.
Yep. Carol Lombard's back, Bill Goodwin. This will be a good one for the drive-in.
No Ernest Borgnine?
He played the part of the doorknob.
Yes.
It was the doorknob? And the silent drummer.
Okay, and the silent drummer, yes.
And the silent drummer. So watch, or listen, yeah, watch for him on radio. He'll be coming up in Our Prison.
He's in Act 6. Yeah, Act 6, paragraph 4.
Yes.
Yes.
Third line. You'll hear it later, I'm sure.
I want to ask Fogsbane. Fogsbane, unless it's a smell, then blame the dog. What's a dog going to do that makes smells? Unless it's going out in the backyard.
I thought
the
you owned a dog.
Backyard. I did, but my dog would like, hey, buddy, we're going outside. You know, I was like, yeah, you are, sure, yeah, no problem. Tale of Ernest Tales.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Ernest. Know what I mean, Vern?
Where is that?
Know what I mean, Vern?
Right over my head. Yeah, that's what we
Deep
call that.
Yeah, Ernest Tales. Tales
you fly,
Ernest Tales.
Don't bother me. I don't know,
Vern.
I don't know. A lot of radio.
You're Vern for the rest of the night.
Actually, we don't have a whole lot of radio. anyway.
No, but we have something special to share with you. Maybe, should we get that out of the way now?
We should do that. Yeah.
All right. So a friend of ours, he was a guest earlier, I don't know, a couple of years ago now, Casey, Rock and Roll Casey. And he sent us sent me a link. He put something together. It's an homage to the he's from our area, Northeast Ohio, and it's homage to the Cleveland Horror Host. And,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and here it is. Let's check this out, gang.
One, two. Monster movie host, the king of UHF from coast to coast. Every Saturday night you'll see me up on the screen. I wanna make your baby jump, I wanna make your baby scream. I'll be bigger than Gulati, I don't hate to boast. I wanna be a monster movie host. Houlihan the weatherman, McChuck and Little John. Soup's probably got a Godzilla movie on. The pool's got some boo-boo for that no good dirty frog. Mushmouth the Seti and the pizza eating dog. Turn blue, stay sick, life it ain't so hard. Everybody stand up and yell Oxnard. Little shop of horrors, house on Haunted Hill. Land night from outer space, I just can't get my fill. Tingling, that's the one I love the most. I wanna be a monster movie host. The king of UHF from coast to coast. Every Saturday night you'll see me up on the screen. I wanna make your baby jump, I wanna make your baby scream. I'll be bigger than Gulati, I don't need to boast. I wanna be a monster movie
host. Water there, that's right. Make sure it stays all the way down. No, Casey, well, thank you for sharing that with us. That is so cool. And if you're from our area, all right, you catch every reference they're referring to, various skits or catchphrases our horror hosts have used over the years. And that is just a nice piece that he put together. Love it. Well done,
I'm
Casey.
Not from your area. I caught all that.
Yep. And we're going to play it here. We're going to play it here again, maybe over the Halloween season. We'll play the we'll pull this one out again. That's a lot of fun.
I was saying, I'm not from Ohio, but I caught every one of those references.
Yeah,
yep.
But you've studied the hosts.
Oh.
And you
had
to listen to us.
Them.
Well, yeah. There's that too. Yeah. Okay. I'll let it fly this time.
Yep. There you go.
A little
A little featurette before our film, our first film for the drive-in here, the radio drive-in, the virtual radio drive-in.
Now, question.
Yeah.
That ditty you just shared with us, did that guy make that just for you, or is that just something he shared?
I think it's something he made. He made it, but he shared it. Yeah.
Yeah, he shared it with
us. Made it, and he shared it. Okay.
Yeah, it was his own idea. I had no idea he was doing this.
All right.
And he said, "Oh, hey, by the way, here's something cool I made."
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was an Erie House original or.
Yeah, he's coming back to guest with us. So, you know, he's a very good musician. He's shared other here. Let me see what else I got by him that he made.
Yeah, do that.
That we can put for a little background music over there before we kick in our movie. Since we got a little bonus time, why not? What do they do with it? There they go.
Kicking it around.
How
you been there, Dave? Yeah, good week.
It's called a Halloween Concerto. See, very cool background music, huh?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, Casey, quite the musician, I'll tell you. Different styles, you can see clearly. Ah, this would be a good theme for a horror host to use.
It would be. It would be, yes.
I like the horror sound effects. It's cool.
Was that Pee Wee Herman I heard?
No, I was Frankenstein Monster.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I often get the two confused.
Or Igor had gas.
I do too. I know what you're talking about.
Or Igor had gas, one of the two.
The ghosties and ghoulies, long legged ghosties, and things that go back.
Maybe that's where Pee Wee got his voice. Pee Wee's sitting there, I wonder what Igor sounds like with gas.
There you go. You might be onto something there.
You never know.
As long as you don't have to smell the gas, we're okay.
Yeah, in which case you do what? You blame the dog.
That's right.
So a little more music from Casey there, and again, some nice. Whoa! Hey.
Okay, that's crazy.
That was a wild ending.
Yeah.
Sorry about that blasto music.
What?
Well, if you can't hear, Oxnard. Yep. If you can't hear, pretend it's a silent movie here on radio. It's Mr. and Mrs. Smith from Lux Radio Theater.
Oh, it is. Oh, gosh.
I wonder when it was originally on the radio.
It was originally on. June 9th, 1941. There you go.
Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Carol Lombard and Bob Hope in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This evening's class will study a simple equation. Bob Hope plus Carol Lombard equals a riot. And this particular riot is called Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I've been connected with the theater most of my life, and that's been long enough to bar me from the draft. I've seen many a bright star rise, but I've never seen more comedy stars than we have today, nor a time when they were more needed. Two top ones are here tonight, and they'll do their best to help us keep our national equilibrium by completely upsetting it for the next hour. The play is the story of a young married couple who suddenly discover, to their own amazement, that they aren't legally married at all. Carol Lombard and Bob Hope carry on from there, with Carol in the same part she played in the RKO picture, and Bob Hope as her lawyer husband. Personally, I'd like to have the right to sell tickets in any courtroom where Bob pleaded a case. But we're not selling tickets tonight. Our production of Mr. and Mrs. Smith is another gesture of appreciation to Mr. and Mrs. America for the way they've supported another production of ours, Lux Toilet Soap. Of course, we've generally spoken to Mrs. America when we've talked about that, but we had no intention of slighting her husband. It just seemed that Mrs. America would be more interested. But Mr. America has some very definite ideas of his own about soap, principally on the subject of lather. His letters are practical and to the point. And where Lux Toilet Soap is concerned, we're glad to report that Mr. America agrees perfectly with Mrs. America that it's just about the best buy on the market, so here's to both of them. And here's a play for both of them. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Bob Hope as David Smith and Carol Lombard as Anne, his wife, with Bill Goodwin as Chuck Benson and Jack Arnold as Jeff. Curtain going up. When the David Smiths took each other for better for worse, they agreed to live by a set of rules. Rule 4, subdivision A, was by far the most radical.
I, Anne.
And I, David,
do solemnly
promise that we shall never leave a room after a quarrel until such quarrel is over and has been settled to the satisfaction of
me, Anne.
And me, David. Hallelujah.
In 3 years of married life, rule number 4, subdivision A, has been called into operation at least once every week. In fact, it's in operation right now.
Mr. Smith, breakfast, sir. Breakfast, Mrs. Smith.
Lily, what are they doing now?
I don't know, but they ain't opening the door.
Look through the keyhole.
Well, she's under the bedclothes and he's playing cards.
Still? That's what they were doing last night.
They've been in 3 days already. How much longer are they going to keep this up?
They went 8 days once.
Martha, he's coming toward the door.
Get away from there, quick.
I'm way ahead of you. David. David, come back. David.
Yes, Anne.
Oh, darling, I thought I was afraid you...
You thought I'd left without making up, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, hold me close. Closer, David.
Closer? Honey, this is David, not Goliath. Say, what would you have done if I'd really gone out that door?
I don't know.
Leave me?
Mm-hmm.
Forever?
Mm-hmm.
For all eternity?
Uh-huh.
Even till they stop playing Amapola?
Uh-huh. Oh, David, as long as we live, we'll never change rule number 4.
Never.
You know, if every married couple have it, they'd never be a divorce. They ought to put it in the marriage certificate. By the way, where is our marriage certificate?
Oh, I'm using it for a bookmark. I don't want to lose my place in Esquire.
David, remember that 8-day session?
Uh-huh.
And the 6?
There were 2 sixes.
2?
Yeah, 1 Christmas week and the other after the Yale game. We got home and the football game started all over again.
That was really 5.5 days. We start in the afternoon.
And now how about breakfast, madam?
Oh, kiss me first. All right, darling, breakfast. We've got respect for each other as persons. That's our big trick.
Yep.
Man and woman, all right, but person to person. That's important in marriage, too. You know, I think we'd be friends if we were both men or women, don't you?
Hmm? Oh, sure.
Mm. Respect for each other as individual. That's what counts in marriage. And always to tell the truth, no matter what the consequences. You know, if we told each other just one lie, we'd have to admit we failed, wouldn't we, David?
Hmm.
And what would we have left? Oh, a marriage like other people's. Doubt, distrust, going on with each other because it's the easiest way. Oh, no, not for us. Not after what we've had. You know, David, it was all my fault.
Oh, no, Anne, it was mine.
My fault, dear. A wife should conduct herself to please her husband. That's one of the rules I'm going to make.
Another one?
David, what's today's date?
Well, I'd better be running along, honey. The office must be loaded
with... David, it's the 15th. Remember rule number 7?
Anne, I think we ought to give that one up. We always get into arguments.
Well, if we ever give one up, that means we're giving up just that much of our wonderful relationship that we're letting down. You wouldn't want me to feel that, would you?
Yeah, but those questions you ask every month, like what I did that trip in Paris when I graduated from college. I was only 21, and I really thought I was buying a postcard.
Gave you for that.
Oh, well, darling, I've got to get to the office.
So... Only one question today, dear.
Now I know what happens to the quiz kids when they grow up.
David, tell me, if you had to do it all over again, would you have married me?
Honestly, no.
What?
Oh, not that I'd want to marry anyone else, but a man gives up so much when he's married. Privacy and independence and Earl Carroll's. No, I think if I had to do it over again, I'd stay single.
Oh.
Now, honey, you wanted me to tell you the truth because we have respect for each other. We talk to each other honestly. Your feelings aren't hurt now, are they?
Oh, no, it's perfectly all right, perfectly.
I knew it. That's the last of those questions. They're always getting us in trouble.
Well, I'm not angry in the least.
Yes, you are. You don't understand what I mean.
David, if you want your freedom, right, I want to be the kind of a wife who clings to her husband when she's not wanted.
For heaven's sakes, I do want to stay married to you. I love you. I'm crazy about you. I'm used to you. How do we get into these things anyway?
Hold on you is that you're used to me.
Honey, darling, you've got the whole thing wrong. You're my little girl. I'm crazy about you. Don't cry, baby. Don't cry. Aw, Snooks, look. Give Dream Boy a little kiss.
Oh. All right, Dream Boy.
And now, is everything all right?
Yes, Dream Boy, everything.
Is this as sickening to you as it is to me?
Dave!
Oh, no, honey, stop. I didn't mean to stop, darling. Don't cry. Before the government builds a dam around you, stop, please. Say you forgive me. Say it.
All right. I forgive you.
Fine. Can I go to work now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, goodbye, sweet. I'll come home early, and I mean early.
Morning, Mr. Smith.
Morning.
Good morning, David.
Oh, good morning, Jeff.
Yeah, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, about 4 Band-Aids ago.
I was beginning to think I didn't have a partner anymore at all.
Well, you know how Ann is. You have to humor in those things.
Well, you don't have to apologize to me, David. I envy you from the bottom of my heart. I wish I was in your shoes.
Yeah, she's a good kid.
Mr. Smith?
Yes?
There's a Mr. Deaver been waiting to see you. He won't tell me his business. He says it's something private.
Oh, send him in.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll leave you to your miseries, David. Lunch at the club if you can make it.
Oh, fine. I'll try, Jeff.
Mr. Deaver, sir.
Oh, Mr. Deaver, how do you do?
How do you do?
Won't you sit down? Well, what is it?
Mr. Smith, were you married in Beecham in March 1938?
Why, yes, I was.
Well, you know, Beecham is on the other side of the river, and it was always incorporated in Brenner County. And you see, Brenner County is in Idaho. You follow me, don't you?
Well, more or less, but to be on the safe side, maybe you'd better drop pebbles.
Well, we in Beecham found out we didn't have the right to be incorporated in Brenner County because from the other side of the Bass River, well, we belong in Nevada.
Well, it sounds like a good idea. Taking Brenner County out of Idaho leaves more room to grow potatoes.
This is serious, Mr. Smith. You see, we just found out that anybody who got married between 1936 and now with an Idaho license in Nevada, well, it isn't legal.
Oh, well, what do you mean? It isn't legal.
Now, I don't want you to get frightened or upset or anything. There's been kind of a mistake. You're not legally married.
What's that? You mean my wife ain't my... Or I ain't, or we... You mean I'm draft bait?
Oh, you really are married and everything, but there's a little technicality.
Little, he says. It's a good thing I don't have a couple of little technicalities running around the house. Go on.
You're a lawyer, Mr. Smith. You know everything's perfectly all right, common law and everything. But we figured it'd be better if everybody kind of got married again just to be on the safe side.
Yeah?
And the Chamber of Commerce is sending me around to everybody to tell them. And we give you your $2 back. And you can use it to get another license. Here's your $2, Mr. Smith.
Okay, and will the Chamber of Commerce take over the payments on the ring?
Well, I'll be going now, Mr. Smith. Say, that picture there, is that your wife?
Uh-huh.
She's a striking woman.
You can say that again, brother.
Hey, wasn't she Annie Krausheimer?
Annie Krausheimer. She lived right across from Beecham. That's how we came to be married there. Did you know her?
Did I know her? I guess she's changed some, huh?
Yeah, she's changed a little.
Yeah, she once chased a dog catcher half a mile with a baseball bat.
Well, she hasn't changed as much as you think.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Smith. Tell her I asked after her, will you? Old Harry Deaver. She'll remember me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, hello, Miss Ames. Will you call my home, please? Ask the maid if I can please speak to Miss Annie Krausheimer.
You're sure everything's all right now, Anne?
Oh, Mother, it's wonderful. David called me just a little while ago. He wants to have dinner with him tonight.
Well, that sounds good.
And you know where, Mother? Mama Lucy's. You know, I didn't think he even remembered the name of the place. Why, we haven't been there since before we were married.
That sounds even better.
Oh, don't worry, Mother. You know what? All the time he was talking to me on the telephone, he kept calling me Miss Krausheimer. The fool.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes, Lily.
Mr. Harry Deaver is here. He says you remember him from across the river in Beecham.
Oh, Harry Deaver.
Bertha Deaver's brother. Well, show him in, Lily.
Yes, ma'am. Come in, please, sir.
Hello, Harry Deaver. This is quite a surprise.
Hello, Annie. Hello, Mrs. Krautheimer.
Hello.
I didn't know whether you'd remember me.
What are you doing in New York?
I'm here on business.
How's your wife, Harry?
She's fine, thanks.
How's Bertha?
Oh, she's fine, too. Married to a dairy farmer in Boise. Got four children. All girls. Got four cows. All girls, too.
Well, sit down, won't you? Will you have some tea?
No, thanks. Only dropped in for a second. Annie, you haven't changed a bit. I'd recognize you in a minute.
Why, Harry, that's the nicest thing you could have said to me.
Say, I did recognize you. Only saw your picture on your husband's desk and recognized you right off.
Hmm?
He's a good-looking fella.
What were you doing with my husband?
Well, here's the way it is. You see, Beecham is on the other side of the river, and it was always incorporated in Brenner County. Well, Brenner County is my
Uh-oh, I think Bob's going to be in a little trouble.
He's married. He's already in trouble.
Yeah, good point. So we got a good comedy. Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, not very much, certainly not much in the vein of Hitchcock. Very fast moving, too. Fast moving.
He did have a
The $2 marriage certificate would cost today $40.30.
Every one of
his movies,
even his suspense thrillers, had elements of comedy, though, in it.
It did. It did.
He always expressed a dark sense of humor on his television show.
Oh, yeah. And he loved that. He loved that.
Yeah. Oh, those great puns. Yeah. Good stuff.
The props that he used and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alf is the man. And he's brought us a good story tonight from Lux Radio Theater.
Hey, you don't get to hear Bob Hope in something other than his type show. Unless he's a guest or in a variety show. You don't hear him much in the show off an actual scripting show.
Yeah, but he still slips a little of himself in there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that Bob Hope was in at least one horror movie?
Yeah, was it two? I know it was
Ghostbreakers.
Ghostbreakers.
Ghostbreakers,
and
then yep.
Was The Cat and the Canary sort of a...
Yes.
It was a follow-up to The Cat and the Canary.
Yep, it's another one. With Bob.
He did those horror films with Phyllis Diller. Oh, wait. She was the horror. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She was frightening. Frightening, to be sure.
A gal from Western Ohio.
Yep.
Gal from Western Ohio, where my mom hailed, from the Lima, Bluffton area. And her family still has a furniture store out there. The Diller Furniture is still a viable business out there. Yeah.
Wow, our deals are a real Diller. Or Dilly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's not a thriller dealer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she very bravely released film of her getting a facelift.
Wow.
Quite a while ago when people weren't doing it as commonly as they are now.
She had more than that left, from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, she would joke. They used like a crane or something.
I actually didn't get to hear her stand-up. She came back to Lima and went to the Memorial House, or I think is what it was called. And my aunt was very disappointed because of some of her language and stuff, but it was just her doing her stand-up. She was doing her stand-up, you know, and I guess you kind of expect that in the stand-up.
Yeah, she was a little on the
blues
side.
Of course, that laugh of hers was so, you had to laugh when she did her laugh, ha, 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 you know.
I don't know how
I ran a version. I ran a version of the Pruitts of Southampton where she portrayed a bat lady.
That show was so weird. You already showed one on the show, and I'd never seen that before. I did see the Phyllis Diller show. She did at least a couple different sitcoms, but boy,
right.
that was weird. That was a unique show.
Yep, and
very
of course,
affluent.
This was used in Mad Monster Party.
It was.
As the wife of the monster or bride. And it could have not just been her likeness, it could have been her voice as well.
I believe it was, but I didn't want to say that without knowing for sure.
And used again in an animation that Rankin Bass also did, very similar to that. The animation took place on a boat, I think, and the other took place on an island, but a lot of the same characters.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yep.
Here, I'm looking at I have the disc right here, and I'm trying to see if it doesn't have the voices in here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Phil is also starring in the talents of Phyllis Diller. Yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
How about that? Kind of a Alfred Hitchcock Phyllis Diller night and bad marriage night.
And bad marriage.
And
speaking
bad marriage.
Of Phyllis Diller and bad marriages. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, how could you wake up to... Oh,
you have to bring up her husband Fang then.
Fang, poor Fang. Oh. Feel for that man.
Right.
How he has
I think he should have gotten a medal for valor and, maybe
valor.
A few other things.
Courage in the line of fire.
Okay. Something, yeah. So when did an animation come out? I'm looking up the animation for that.
I'm going to guess the 60s. Mad Monster Party.
I thought they were back to back. Okay. Huh.
Yeah, I'm looking at here. I'm looking for a year. Come on, year. Doesn't say.
King Kong, Stingiest Man, Leprechauns.
Stingiest Leprechaun? What?
Yeah, I know. Stingiest Man in Town. Old Drummer Boy. Enchanted World of Danny Kaye. Smokey Bear Show.
Huh. Of course.
The Mad Comedians. Phyllis Diller's in that. That's from 1970.
Monster Party.
ABC Saturday Superstar Movie, The Mad Monsters, 1972.
It was called Mad Monster Party. I don't know about Mad.
Yes, now the Mad Monster Party was 1967.
That makes sense.
But the Mad Monsters is fully animated, and that had a bunch of the characters in it. Let's see. I don't see Phyllis in there. I'm sure she would have been.
I don't know.
Because this would have been altogether. Okay, let's see.
We can do more research.
Yes. Later. Yep. Okay. Anyway,
As we get into part two.
Yes. Let's get into part two.
It has nothing to do with Phyllis Diller. Yes.
That's right.
May or may not. She might show up. We don't know.
Does have everything to do with Carol Lombard and Bob Hope.
Don't be any yarn legally married.
And this is horrible. Not married. So that's why he called me, Miss Krausheimer.
Oh, it's nothing, Annie. You'll just get married again.
I should hope so.
Well, now, Mother, don't get excited. Harry's right. The whole thing's very simple. David will marry me all over again.
And suppose he doesn't?
Well, he'll have to. If he doesn't, I'll get a divorce. That's what I'll do.
You can't get a divorce from a man you're not even engaged to.
Well, Mother, stop confusing me. It's all right, I tell you. I always ask him if he'd do it again, and I say, David, if you had to do it all over again, would you marry me? Well, just this morning, he said... Oh, holy mackerel, I'm a bachelor girl.
You're looking kind of cute tonight.
Oh, thank you, David. And thanks for the lovely roses you sent me.
Well, I always send you roses.
Yes, but these had stems on them. Oh, I just can't wait to see Mama Lucy.
Oh, dear old Mama Lucy.
Do you think we'll get the same table?
Sure, it's early.
Oh, it'll be covered with a checkered tablecloth, and there'll be a candle in an old Chianti bottle.
Yeah, just an old Chianti bottle in an old Chianti town.
And Rosa the fortune teller. You know, I even love the smell about the place. This is the place, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Either our noses have changed or there's a livery stable around.
Well, it's not exactly Chanel number 5. Well, let's go in.
This place has changed a little.
Yeah, it looks sort of empty, doesn't it?
Oh, hello, Cat. I don't remember you.
You want something?
Yeah, is Mama Lucy here?
I'm Mama Lucy.
Well, you've changed a little, too.
She left. I don't know where.
Oh, well, wait a minute. We'd like to eat here.
Huh? You want to eat here?
Unless you've got some objection.
I got no objection if you got no objection. How would you like to sit?
Well, we used to come here years ago, and there were tables outside. Would it be too much trouble to have it the way it used to be?
And you're going
to
have the 45-cent or the 65-cent dinner?
Well, what's the difference?
With the 65-cent dinner, you get back your own hat and coat.
Sure. If it don't fit me. Sit down.
The tablecloth isn't checkered, but it's dirty enough to look like checkered.
And the candle isn't the same stuck in a beer bottle.
It smells.
Well, eat your soup, dear.
That smells, too. Say, there's something wrong with this soup.
It's just your imagination. There's nothing wrong with the soup.
No, then why are the noodles spelling out S-O-S? Here, Pussy, you eat some soup. Go ahead.
David, get that cat off the table.
I can't. I think it's his table. Look, he won't eat it. Why doesn't the cat eat the soup? Animals know what's good for them. You notice he ate up the olives.
Well, why did you give them to him?
I wanted to see how many he'd eat before he'd ask for a martini.
David, eat your soup, please.
Oh, that cat knows something. Look at him. He's scared. A black lentil just crossed his path.
David, where should we go after this?
Home. Here, Puss, here. Come on, Stoop, soup.
Did you say home, David? Well, aren't we supposed to go someplace before we go home?
Well, altogether, it'll make it too late. Say, you know, I'd give $5 to see that cat take a sip of that soup. Here, Puss, come on, soup.
David, listen.
Yes, hon?
Tell me what you do a day in the office. You know, just a simple day like today. From the minute you came in until you went home, what happened?
Oh, nothing. Just a lot of schmooze. It's dull as dishwater.
No, it isn't. I'm very interested. What sort of things come up in a day? Who did you see? Please try and remember.
Well, there was a fellow... Oh, look, the cat's going to eat the soup. No, he isn't. He's turning away. Doesn't that mean something? I want a stomach pump.
Nice cat, huh?
Yeah.
I'm unlucky with cats here. The third cat this week. Say, are you Mrs. Smith?
Yes, how did you know?
Your mother's in the kitchen, on the phone.
Oh, it must be about our Red Cross group. I'll be right back, David. Hello, Mother?
Hello, Anne. Has he told you?
Well, not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Well, he's teasing me. He thinks he's being romantic about it.
Oh.
Mother, are you crying?
My poor baby. Thank heaven your father's dead. Listen to me now. Under no conditions, do you hear me? Under no conditions are you to...
Why, of course not, Mother. Don't worry. If worse comes to worse, I'll spend the night with you.
Well, don't forget.
I won't. Bye, Mother.
Honey, was that your mother?
Yes, Mother.
Yeah, your ears look tired. You know, honey, I've got a little secret to tell you.
Oh, David, it's about time. What is it, dear?
You're a great kid.
Is that all?
Hmm?
Darling, it's getting rather late if we have to go anyplace, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I get it. Waiter, check. Champagne. Keep twirling it, honey. Get it good and cold.
David, why are we drinking champagne?
Well, you like champagne, don't you? Here, let me do it.
David, wait. I didn't think we were coming home so soon.
No? Get the glasses, hon.
Glasses?
Sure. You don't want to drink out of a bottle, do you?
David, you stop twirling that bottle.
Hey, look out! What's the matter with you?
You beast!
What?
You beast, you know we're not legally married. You were never going to tell me.
I was going to tell you, honey. I was going to tell you later.
Later?
Oh, there's
later?
No need taking on like this.
You were going to wait. wait until we had another fight and then throw me aside like a squeezed lemon.
In that dress, you're shaped more like an avocado.
I've given you the best years of my life, and you were willing to go on and on. I've always had a suspicion about you. So did my mother. Your forehead slants back too much.
Well, at least I've got a forehead. Ann.
Don't you touch me.
Oh, now listen, Annie.
You get out of here.
Get out?
Go on, go on. You're not staying in this apartment.
Honey, we can't leave the bedroom until we've made up.
You're not in the bedroom. Get out.
If you'll let me explain, Ann. Stop pushing.
You're going out of here. Take your coat.
Annie.
And here's your hat.
Annie, let go. Stop.
You can never come back here. I never want to see you again as long as I live. Now get your hand out of that door.
Ouch! Annie. Annie, either let me in or throw out my fingers.
In just a moment, Mr. DeMille and our stars Bob Hope and Carol Lombard will bring us Act Two of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Well, here's Sally. She seems a little out of breath.
And so would you be, Mr. Ruick, if you'd been in the path of a young whirlwind for the last few days.
Why, Sally, you're just a young thing yourself. Who is this tornado that's got you down?
My little cousin Susie. She's just 17, just out of school, and she's been visiting us. She's cute as a kitten's ear and is chic popular. We thought some of having an extra phone put in just for the overflow messages.
She sounds kind of like a Lux girl to me, Sally.
Listen to this, Mr. Ruick. The night Susie arrived, she was freshening up before dinner. First thing she did was to unwrap a cake of Lux soap and start right in to tell me, imagine me, how to take an active lather facial.
Took the words right out of your mouth, Sally.
Susie says most of the girls at her school are Lux soap fans. They're pretty smart, those young things. Sue said they find these Lux soap facials are really swell, so they make a point of using them regularly. She said to me very seriously, you know, Sally, if a girl wants lots of dates, she's just got to have a nice skin.
Well, your pretty little cousin has said something there, Sally. It's certainly true that men do respond to the charm of a soft, smooth skin. It makes a woman attractive at any age. Here in Hollywood, screen stars, 9 out of 10 of them, use Lux toilet soap regularly because this gentle soap is such a wonderful help in keeping complexions lovely. Well, Sally, how about telling the ladies in our audience how easy and quick it is to take a Lux Soap Active Lather Facial?
With pleasure, Mr. Ruick. First, you smooth the Lux Soap lather lightly in. You'll love the way this rich, velvety, smooth lather caresses your skin. Next, rinse with warm water, followed by a dash of cool. Then, pat the face dry with a soft towel. That's all. Yet you'll find Lux Soap's Active Lather has removed every trace of dust and dirt and stale cosmetics from your skin. Left it feeling smoother and softer, looking so fresh. Try these Lux Soap facials every day for 30 days. See if you don't find them a wonderful beauty aid.
Thanks, Sally. And I'd like to add one word more. Remember, it just isn't possible to buy a finer toilet soap than this beauty soap of the stars. Yet Lux toilet soap costs but a few cents a cake. Why not get 3 cakes of this fine white soap tomorrow? Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Carol Lombard as Anne and Bob Hope as David, with Bill Goodwin as Chuck Benson. Bag and baggage, David Smith has been tossed into the street by his own wife, who now considers herself Miss Annie Krausheimer. Homeless and weary, David wanders into his club downtown. In the steam room, he sits wrapped in a towel, staring into the clouds of mist. Through the fog comes another half-draped torso, Chuck Benson.
Hiya, Dave. How goes it? Haven't seen you around the club in months.
Oh, hello.
Benson, Chuck Benson. Don't you remember me? We were in the golf foursome in last year's tournament.
Oh, yes. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I got a little kink in my arm. I think the steam ought to fix it.
Yeah, I had a fight with my wife, too.
Oh, it wasn't exactly a fight. We were drinking champagne, and it went to my head, bottle and all.
Yeah, sure, same old story. But you know what I don't understand? Whenever two people have a fight, the woman goes home to her mother. Well, every time my wife and I have a fight, I have to get out of the house.
Huh. How do you get back?
Oh, it's the simplest thing in the world. Ignore it. Ignore the whole thing. Next day, they're glad to see you. I know, brother. I've had experience.
Hey, you're right. Hey, I'll just go to the office. I won't even call her. She gets worried. Why don't I show up in the morning? By the time I get home tomorrow night... Thanks, Chuck. You're a pal. Hello, darling.
What do you want?
Now, listen, Ann.
Miss Krausheimer to you.
Oh! taxi lady?
Thank you. 36th Street and 5th, please.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Smith. Is this your cab?
No, I was crossing the street and the lights changed. Say, Ann, are you going to stop this silly farce or aren't you? I've got a lot of work piled up in the office. You let me come home. I'm willing not to discuss this anymore.
Well, that's very generous of you, but I won't be thrown crumbs by a crumb.
Now, listen, you're my wife.
Oh, no, we're not legally married, Ducky.
Well, then we're going to be legally married.
Sorry, I haven't time. I'm learning the words to the Hutsut song.
Are you out of your mind? Why, think of my reputation. Well, why the laugh?
Oh, I thought of your reputation. Legally, we're not married.
Oh, for all right, we'll get married. Does that suit you?
We'll get married. That's a nice snarling proposal. Listen, you had a hard enough job getting me to marry you before, and I didn't know you then, but I do now, and how I know you. If anyone asks you, you're no bargain.
Well, what's the matter with me? Am I a cheapskate? Am I a dope, a fathead, a rat?
Well, keep mentioning them. You're getting warm.
Well, name one thing about me you don't like.
One thing. My, aren't we vain. In the first place, I wish you'd go on a diet and get a little thinner.
Well, what for?
Well, I'd like my girdle back.
Indian giver.
And then what about that tar stuff you keep rubbing into your hair that smells up my whole bedroom?
Well, I'm only trying to keep my hair for you, and you're a fine one to talk. Going to bed with a head full of aluminum clips. Every time I woke up, I expected to find the government had turned you into an airplane.
Now, you won't have to worry anymore, dearie.
Well, I'm not going to stand for this, and that's my last word on it.
Well, it's nice to have met you.
All right, I'm not going to support you. How do you like that?
Fine.
I'm serious. I'm not going to give you any money.
Fine. Never like asking you for money anyway. It's embarrassing watching you take off your shoe. You keep... Right here, driver.
Right. I want you to know I'm doing this reluctantly.
Well, that suits me. Here, driver, keep the change.
Thanks, lady. You're not very practical. How do you think you're going to live? And your old lady, how is she going to live?
Look, Mr. Smith, you see that department store? Well, since yesterday morning, I've been employed in good standing. And they're going to pay me every Saturday. Goodbye, Mr. Smith.
Oh, wait, listen, Ann.
Good morning, sir. Are you looking for something?
Oh, yes, I am.
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, she's about 5 feet... No, I'll find it myself.
I might be able to save you a lot of trouble. I'm very well acquainted with the merchandise.
Oh, thanks, but I'd rather find it myself. You just run along and water your carnation.
You're embarrassed. Is it something in ladies' lingerie?
Yes, it's something in ladies' lingerie.
Well, you go right down the aisle...
Now, don't tell me it's a game I'm playing.
Oh, it's perfectly all right, sir. Perfectly, sir.
Oh, there you are.
Good morning. Anything I can do for you?
Ann, are you crazy, standing all day on your feet for $18 a week? Will you please do me a favor and come home? I've got a cake in the oven.
Oh. I'm sorry, sir. I think you have the wrong department. We have nothing here for you.
Are you walking out of here peacefully, or do I have to carry you?
The manager's looking. Can I show you something else, sir?
All right, I'll carry you. Here. All right, I'll drag you.
Get away from me! Yes.
You're coming home. You're nothing but a silly little...
Let go! You can't take me out of here! That's shoplifting!
Come on!
Miss Krausheimer! What are you doing to the customer?
I'm not doing anything! Look who's got who!
Sorry, sir, but I'll have to ask you to release our sales clerk.
You want to try to make me release her?
Well, if you're not pleased with this clerk, I'll be happy to get you another.
I'm pleased with her, and she's no clerk. She's my wife.
Your wife?
I am not!
Miss Krausheimer, we understood you were a single woman. As an aid to the unemployment situation, it is our policy not to employ married women.
Good idea.
I am not married.
She's married, all right. Did you ever see a single woman that could fight like this? Come on.
Mr. Fogel, believe me.
Well, we'll have to take this up with the head of the department.
No, we don't. This way.
Let me alone.
The showcase. Be careful. Oh, are you hurt?
No, but this is the first time I ever wore a corset for a hat.
Store detectives. Store detectives. Quick, quick.
Well, that was an abrupt ending to part two of Mr. and Mrs. Smith having a real battle there.
Yep, and Dale's underwater again. Hey, get up the scuba gear. Not been kicked out of the house. Well, sort of, but no, that was only during the divorce, so oh well. Myself. Yep.
A little better?
Yeah, a little better.
A little better.
Sorry, I was washing my face with Lux soap.
Oh, well, that'll do it. Especially if you get it bubbles up your nose.
Oh, it's
Lux
terrible.
Bubbles. Lux bubbles are vicious. Yeah.
They are. You get one of those nose bubbles.
Toilet.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's where you use toilet soap. I thought you used it in the toilet.
Oh, yeah. As a real man, we only did those facials with lava soap. You know, to really
that's
clean
right.
out those masculine
pores. Where it takes out four layers of skin. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Lava.
Yep.
It is.
So.
Lava is death.
So the funny thing about that the $2 marriage certificate was, I was married in like I should know, I was there.
I guess.
Are you sure?
Married? I should know. I was there.
Yeah. I was there. No, it was like 1986 or something like that. And it was still $2.
Really?
Really?
So, yeah.
I think my second one, my first one cost me everything. My second one only cost me about $15-25, something like that.
First one cost you everything.
Everything, man.
You had,
including dignities, my dignity, and if
dignity,
if I had
pride.
Such a thing, and, My dreams and fantasies, they're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
No, Dave, when you say everything, did you show up with
a
piggy bank and a hammer? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You shouldn't have got elk and moose for your your cart case. So that's where you went wrong.
Yeah. I used them once before a personal injury, and they hurt me.
Yes, he did.
Dewey Screwman Howell, what a great lawyer company. Hey, keeping things creepy as a sidebar, did you guys hear about the Texas mother who warned parents, do not watch the new movie called Hocus Pocus 2, because
I saw about it. I didn't see her actual warning. It's gone viral, whatever she said in it.
Yeah.
It is.
She's Satan, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Could it be?
Same.
Yeah, I don't know.
or maybe it's just a movie.
Maybe it's just a movie
about witches,
which is kind of, it's kind of like Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, a lot of these things. Now, there are folks that do believe that there's something going on, and that, more power to you. But when you put it into the traditional understanding, it's a make-believe character. Much like cartoon characters or something. But I did find out, and I put it in the chat there, that Phyllis Diller did not revisit that role of the Bride of Frankenstein. They had someone else fill in 1972. In 1968, she was the wife, the bride of the monster, and then.
Yep.
In 72, they got someone else, another voice actor, to do the animated thing.
Ah.
Dave, you have the DVD copy, right? You had it in front of you or something like that?
Yeah, I have it right in front of me here. Yes, I do.
But they didn't put the animation.
Everything.
They didn't put the animation with it. It's just the live action stop motion.
Yes. It's the stop motion. Yeah.
But the animation is not on it. Okay, so I guess maybe they're trying to make more money by selling them separately. I don't know.
Well, it's weird. I opened this up and there's actually a spot for a second disc, but there is no second disc.
Hello. Bom, bom, bom.
I've been ripped off.
Case of the missing disc. Also like a Night of Horse. But I'll more about that later.
Hello.
Hello. Lady. Oh, lady.
Yeah.
Nice lady.
So you're bipping along in your life, and someone tells you there's a technical difficulty, and you're not married to someone you've been married to for a certain amount of time with this couple, And then she's like, the heck with it. And it's like, wow. Now, you could say, well, you know, free divorce. You know, she, there you go. You know.
Well, either way, either one of them is saying it, Lee, that is kind of a big deal. That's like, wow.
Well, no, the guy is like, I want to save my marriage. The woman's like, you know, put it, stuff it in the sock or something, you know.
Well, I think she just wants to be made feel special.
She's already taken it to quite a level where she went off and got a job.
Yes, she has.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of a smack in the face. I would definitely be in Bob's shoes. I would definitely, you know, but I do have one crazy thing where something happened a long time ago to me in a different universe where such a circumstance was put to me and they wanted out. So I was like, all right, hey, you know, it's your mind, it's your life. You know, if you want to go be with someone else, see you later. All right. And so off she took. And later she came back to me and said, hey, you know, maybe we won't do this, but we could be roommates. And I'm like, no. But the deal is I didn't chase after her, nor do I feel like I should have. She implied to me she wanted to, you know, I want to go be with them. Knock yourself out. See you later. You know, we're going to cut our ties and you go do whatever. I did not fight for it, nor would I.
She came scratching back at the door when the bills came in.
Well, wait a minute.
This was a rash move.
Yeah, well, I hope the financial solution that she found evened out. But, yeah, it was weird. But, yeah, so it was more of a thing of, hey, if you as an adult person want to make an adult decision and do – okay, there you go. I mean, if I would have attempted to what, force it, if that becomes a whole another different thing.
Yeah,
that's even
worse.
That's
no fun. That's not worth it.
So I'm on the fence about this one. Yeah, you know, and so if this is what you want, then here you go. And then, well, I'm not happy with what I wanted, and you have no idea what you want, you know.
Careful, sitting on that fence. It might be electric, so be careful where you're sitting on that fence.
It would have been better if it was a farcical comedy like we have here today from Lux Radio.
Exactly. It was reflecting life.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, part 3 of 4, will be back.
Underwater.
Get out and stay out and don't come back in this store again. That goes for the both of you.
Oh. Well, I'm fine. Are you satisfied now?
Listen, I have an appointment in the office at 2:00. Are you going to make up with me?
No, I'm not going to make up with you ever.
For heaven's sakes, Ann, what do you want? I had a chance to get out of our marriage, didn't I? But now I want to get back. Doesn't that convince you I still want to be married to you?
I'm very flattered, but I don't want to marry you. Thought the whole thing over, and I'm not interested.
Well, what's the matter with me?
Well, I don't like your temper. You're too jealous. You're always knocking people down.
Oh, now, wait. If you're referring to last New Year's Eve, that midget had no right to...
Move along, ma'am. Move along.
Just a minute, officer.
You heard what I said. Move along. You're blocking traffic.
Why don't you go someplace and steal an apple?
Go on. Hit him, why don't you? Knock him down. Go on.
Madam, I wouldn't advise your friend to hit a cop in this town.
But I'm on your side, officer. I don't even know this man.
Oh, you don't, huh?
She does so. She's married to me illegally.
Run along, buddy. Go visit Columbus Circle.
Listen,
chew on before I run you and beat it.
Oh, bully.
I postponed the Amanda case for you, David, and I set back the Duffy hearing.
Oh, that's fine. Just fine, Jeff. Thanks.
David, I'd like to ask you to do something.
Oh, well, what is it? Anything you want, you know?
Well, I'd like you to drop in at your own home tonight after dinner.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I've taken matter in my own hands. I've asked Anne to have me to dinner. She's fond of me, and she knows I'm fond of her, and, well, I think I can straighten it out. I hope it is something I can straighten out.
Oh, why, certainly. It was nothing. One of those little domestic squabbles. It was really nothing.
I imagined it was that. Why, you're too fine to do anything, shoddy.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
I want you to just drop in unannounced at about, shall we say, 9 o'clock?
Oh, Jeff, I can't speak. It's just like my Adam's apple had four sons.
Well, that's all right, David.
Jeff, you're the best friend the man ever had. We've been closer together than Gene Autry and his guitar.
Well, we're partners, David.
You're the best law partner a man ever had.
We were school chums.
And you were the best fullback Alabama ever had. I always said Hinkle was a greater back, but I was wrong. Hinkle couldn't touch you.
Thanks, David. Thanks.
In here, Mr. Smith.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Smith, madam.
Hello, David.
Oh, hello, Jeff. Oh, hello, Ann. How are you, dear?
Talk to my lawyer.
Your lawyer? What lawyer?
Oh, Ann's asked me to represent her in this matter, David.
Well, what for?
Oh, I've been telling her she doesn't need a lawyer.
Oh, well, I'll say she doesn't.
Because as I understand the facts, you two aren't legally married at all.
There you are.
What?
So there's nothing for the court to decide.
This happened before in Peterson versus Peterson, and Jeff says even the Supreme Court threw it out.
Jeff, what's the matter with you? You
said... He said you were lucky this isn't the South and that I'm not his sister.
What?
Now, David...
Why, you hillbilly ambulance chaser? You Blackstone blackguard, wait till the Bar Association hears about this.
If I open the window, they will.
There's no need losing our tempers.
We're married, if not legally, then morally, and there is such a thing as common law, you know.
I don't deny there's a kind of common law relationship between you.
Thank you.
Tell him the whole thing, Jeff.
However, the woman is given the benefit of any difficulties arising out of such a relationship. For instance, should you die, as a wife, she is entitled to share in the husband's estate.
Well, why should she wait? I'll give her one room of furniture and my pivot tooth now.
Furthermore, should the woman care to halt this relationship and marry someone else, she's entitled to do so. Peterson versus Peterson, Adams versus Kelly, and Gimble versus New Pennsylvania Coal Company.
I didn't know they were going together. You're supposed to be my best friend, and you tell her a thing like that?
David, I have never taken advantage of our friendship by word or deed. And it's only because you're standing here that I can now ask Anne... Would you care to have dinner with me tomorrow night?
Where, Jeff?
And don't go with him. Come to dinner with me. I'll spare no expense. You can name your own drive-in.
Where shall we go, Jeff?
Anne, I'm asking you to come to your senses and marry me tomorrow. If you have dinner with him tomorrow instead, well, this is final. We're through.
What time, Jeff?
All right, we're through, Anne. From now on, we're just friends. Just ships that pass in the night. And if Jeff is ever with you, make sure he's convoyed.
That's not necessary. The store club, all right, Jeff?
Anywhere you say. I'll call for you at 8.
That'll be fine. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Anne.
Good night.
Well, David?
Comparing yourself with Hinkle as a football player. You couldn't carry Hinkle's water bucket.
Sorry you feel that way, old man. Good night.
On second thought, maybe you could, you two-quart drip.
Elevator boy, ma'am.
Sure enough?
Sure enough, elevator boy. Fooled you, huh?
Yeah, but the boy's name is O'Brien.
Oh! My nose!
Well, what's the matter?
You hit my nose with a door.
So I did. It's bleeding, too. Good night.
Well, now, I'll tell you. When a man comes to the club for one night, that's nothing. When he comes back all week, that's trouble. Go ahead, Dave. Take another drink.
Hey, Benson, are you sure this is good for nosebleed?
Oh, best thing. I always use it, but then, I don't know, I use it for everything. Oh, that reminds me, I got to make a call.
I'm kind of a dummy, you know?
Uh-huh.
The worst thing I could do is chase her. Let her have a week or 10 days without me. After 10 days with her mother, even I'll look good.
Uh-huh.
She's used to me. She can never even get to sleep until I get home. I'm just her big box of Ovaltine.
Hello. Hello, Gloria. Well, hiya, Gloria. Oh, yeah, and I'm kissing you back. Huh? Jimmy? This is no Jimmy. This is Jackie. Yeah, wonderful girl, Dave. Society girl. Real class. Say, Gloria, how about tomorrow night? Atta girl. Listen, I got a friend. How about Gertrude? Oh, you like Gertrude, Dave.
Me? Gertrude?
Oh, this is a great fella, Gloria. Society fella. Real class. Put Gertie on.
Say, I don't think I better.
Now, don't be a sap. She's beautiful. Hello, Gertie. Listen, I got you a great little dinner partner for tomorrow night, but he kind of needs cheering up, you know what I mean? Okay. Here, she wants to talk to you, Dave.
Oh, me? Well, hello, Gertie. Hey, she's kissing at me.
Well,
Kiss her back.
Well, I don't know her.
Oh, it's all for laughs. She's a great kid.
Oh, well. Huh? Well, how can you tell you're crazy about me? Oh, it's just an average voice. Yes, I used to sing a little.
Give me the phone. What did I tell you, Gertie, huh? Great fella, huh? 8 o'clock? Where shall we make it, Dave?
A store club.
How about the store club? Okay. Goodbye. Oh, wait till you see them, Dave. They're terrific. Real society girls.
You know, she said she liked my voice.
Good evening, sir. Are you looking for someone?
Yeah, the Chuck Benson party.
Yes, sir. They're expecting you right this way.
Hey, David, my boy.
Hey, Chuck. Well, here he is, girls in the flesh. Hiya, Dave.
Hi, Chuck.
Girls, I want you to meet Dave. Dave, this is a girl.
Hello, big boy.
Hiya, Toots. What's been keeping you? Sit down and park the body.
Hey, Chuck, is this, are these...
Why, sure. This is the young lady who liked your voice, Dave.
Young lady? You can get 6-1 in the winter book. She doesn't finish out the winter.
Gloria O'Day and Gertie Schultz. Gertie's for you, Dave.
Oh, thanks.
Come on, tall, dark, and ski nose. Sit down. Slap on the feed bag.
Well, look, isn't this a little crowded? I mean, can't we go to some quieter place where it's darker?
Hold it, Cookie. We're eating first. Have you ever been here?
Often. That's why I want to go to a dark place.
I don't get it.
Well, food doesn't agree with my stomach, so I get even on it. I don't let it see what I'm eating.
Oh, you got an upset stomach, huh? I wonder what could have done it.
Are you kidding?
Hey, waiter. Waiter, bring the bottle here and leave it, will you?
Yes, madame.
Some kid, huh, Dave?
Let him talk for himself. Well, why don't you say something?
I will. I'm trying to find a way to clean it up.
Say, take a gander at this menu.
Yeah, it's written all in French.
Just putting on the dog for the fancy prices. Look, oops, that's eggs.
What's that?
Oops, it's eggs. No kidding, I was here once before.
Say, it's awfully hot in here, Chuck. I know a place that's cool.
Now, listen, don't rush it. We're stuck for the cover charge anyway. Now, take it easy, Dave.
Jeff, isn't that David over there?
Where, Ann? Oh, yes, it is.
Who's he with? Is that girl a client of yours?
No, I never saw her before.
Cute, isn't she? A little muscular, but cute.
Say... He knew we were coming here. He's just trying to make you jealous. See, he's looking this way now.
Well, just ignore him. Laugh, Jeff.
What?
Well, laugh. Make him think we're having a good time.
Oh.
Oh, Jeff, you're wonderful. Yeah, yeah. I just adore things you say. Trying to make me jealous, is he? Oh, with that lady wrestler he's got with him. I'd like to tell him what I think of him.
But I thought you were going to ignore him.
I am, as a matter of fact. I'm going over there and ignore him with a large plate.
Anne, come back. Anne.
Excuse me, I've got to leave.
Oh, sit down, Dave, sit down.
Yeah, sit down.
I can't, look, my nose is bleeding. I have to go home, get out.
Oh, his nose is bleeding, yes. He can't leave like that.
Now, take it easy, Dave.
Oh, let go.
I got a cure for nosebleed, lay him out on the table.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on the table, Dave.
No, stop it,
give me a cold knife.
Yeah, cold
let go.
Knife. Up you go. There we are.
A cold knife. Give me a cold knife.
Let me up.
Gertie will fix you, Dave. Now lay down.
Oh, listen.
What's the matter here?
Some chunk got punched in the nose.
Oh, let me out of here.
Hello, David.
Ann.
Anything I can do for you?
Oh, it's all a mistake. You see, this girl...
Oh, yes, I think she's rather pretty. Is that her own hair or has somebody been unraveling a cigar? Stand back, sister. Who do you think you are?
Oh, listen, she's my...
I know what she is. Trying to move in on my guy, huh? Go on, beat it. Of course. Good night, David. Have a nice hangover.
Oh.
Here you are, honey. This cold knife will fix you up.
Yeah, just cut my throat with it.
We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. After a brief intermission, Mr. DeMille presents Bob Hope and Carol Lombard in Act 3 of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And now, while we're waiting,
Let's listen in on a typical late afternoon scene at the Joneses.
Mary Lou, please stop playing with that horrible thing. Let Mommy give you your bath. Mary Lou, give Mommy that whirligig this instant. Now listen, dear, please. You know Mommy has to have time for her beauty bath, too. A nice warm bath with a nice fresh cake of Lux soap. Oh, goodness, this feels good, all this creamy active lather. It feels so sort of soothing some way. And, oh, but it leaves such a wonderful fragrance on my skin. There's certainly nothing like a Lux Soap beauty bath to make me feel like new, even after such a hectic day as this. Now a good rub down, clean things, and I'll be fresh as a daisy.
Hello, honey. Ah, here she is, all dressed up and looking mighty sweet, too. Well, looks like I'll have to have a kiss right now. Darling.
Clever woman, Mrs. Jones. Far too clever to let her husband find her after his hard day, worn, cross, and disheveled. She knows she can depend on Lux Toilet Soap's creamy, active lather to carry away perspiration, every trace of dust and dirt. Make her sure of perfect daintiness, the charm that men adore. Leave her skin delicately perfumed, too, with a fragrance that clings. Why don't you adopt this delightful way to make sure of daintiness, of skin that's sweet? A daily Lux Toilet Soap beauty bath is a luxury that you'll enjoy. An inexpensive luxury, for Lux Toilet Soap costs only a few cents. Especially if you buy it three cakes at a time, the economical way. Get three cakes tomorrow.
I'll have a chocolate cake and a vanilla cake and a lemon cake. That's my three cakes.
And a blueberry cake.
With a side of cake.
Yeah.
And a side of cake.
Yeah.
Yes. Very important. I love Carol Lombard ever since I discovered My Man Godfrey. Ah, good movie.
Yeah, passed away way too early. It was, I think, an airplane accident. Way too early. What a talent. What a talent. The earliest movie I saw hers, she didn't have the E on the end of her Carol. Carol. And
yeah.
So it became, she added the E later on, but I guess she could afford it then, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, those vowels cost a lot back then.
Yep. I believe I have a recording of her last, the last recording of Carol Lombard.
Yeah? How did that go?
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, yeah. Could be,
I think that was her last speaking role, too.
Yeah, looks like CW's here. Could be, maybe.
Could be.
Possibly.
Hello, CW?
Hello? Hello?
CW's here.
It's me.
She's here to beat up on us for being male chauvinists that we are tonight.
Yes.
Yes, I am. But first, did someone mention cake?
Yes.
Cake.
Unfortunately, it's cakes of soap. Cakes of soap, unfortunately.
Cakes of soap. Yes, cakes of Lux soap. Ah, the soap that's a soap. Made with all the...
soapy goodness.
Soapy goodness. The chemicals and everything else. Petroleum chemicals and arsenic and mercury. Leaving that smooth, creamy, radioactive fragrance on your skin.
Yeah, it gives you that.
Brought to you by DuPont. Yeah.
Gives you that afterglow. DuPont. Gives you that afterglow.
That total afterglow.
After you've been
for about
radiated.
2 weeks.
Yes.
For about 2 weeks, yeah.
There you go. Yep, with a half-life of 500 years.
Yeah, half-life, yeah, that's it. I was saying shelf life, and I was like, no, that's deodorant.
And that's Twinkies.
That's
Twinkies.
Twinkies
have the shelf life.
Yeah.
Twinkies
right,
and
right.
Spam. Yeah.
Right.
I thought Twinkies didn't have an expiration date.
They don't.
Probably. They don't. You're right. They don't. It's Spam has the shelf life. Yep. Somewhere in a couple of
5 seconds.
Spam.
Yeah. Spam.
Hello, CW. Blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Hello, God. Long time no see. Hey, or here. Hey.
Where have we been?
Goodness. Where have we been? Happy October.
I
have Happy October, by the way.
It is. It is October. I just had to reboot the entire computer, so what am I looking for? Maybe Gar's moral of the story for later. Okay. That would be fun.
Would be nice to have one of those.
Oh.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Thank goodness.
Oh, yes. I'm being totally naughty. I'm at a workplace, you know, that place, that four-letter word where they supposedly give you money, what they think is money. Yeah, anyway.
A little scraps
so,
of it, yeah.
Yeah, little shreds.
Oh, no.
Yep. Well, I'm so glad you tuned in tonight. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I will be here tomorrow, my usual post, at the ready.
Awesome,
Well, CW, you've done something none of the other of us could figure out how to do. You're getting paid to be on here.
Yeah. That's a Howie scream right there.
Yeah, it would be.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yes.
Just a scream.
Yeah.
Just a scream of jealousy. A scream of jealousy.
Yes.
Scream of jealousy.
Frustration. Madness.
Yeah. I know. This place is it's okay, but they're not very generous with their Wi-Fi, you know. I mean, they keep it locked down, and I know how rude.
Like they want you to work or something.
Oh, yeah.
So wait.
Ew.
There's an exchange for money? What is this? What?
What is this money of which you speak?
Ah, the
Gar knows
what
that is. He spent enough of it this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, indeedy. But, yes, Carol Lombard, absolutely great timing for comedy. Right up there with Lucille Ball. I mean, she found, unlike Lucille Ball, who couldn't find her niche until she got into television, Carol Lombard found it in the movies. And if she had lived longer, she probably would have given Lucille Ball and Joan Davis, Mary Jones, who was great at comedy as well, giving them both a run for their money if she'd had a taste of television.
I would have to agree with that because I just absolutely love Carol Lombard.
Yeah. And
she's
you
a sweetie.
Were talking about My Man Godfrey, And I believe when she passed away, she was married at the time to King of Hollywood at the time, Clark Gable, if I'm not mistaken.
Clark Gable. Either they were married or they were engaged or something. One of the other. Yeah, it was. They may have been married, but I know for some reason I'm thinking they weren't married yet, but he did pay for all the expenses of her funeral.
Well, the state they were in, it wasn't lined up right, so the certificate was, never mind.
Yeah, that keyed right in here.
I don't know. So many people.
She was married to Clark Gable. Up until 1942, her death. So
they did get hitched.
They did get hitched from 1939 to 42, according to some sources.
And
in Albuquerque.
She passed. And the accident she was in was when?
42.
42. Okay. She was on a, what was it, what did they call it, the war bond drive? She was on a war bond drive and her plane
went
down.
Oh, my goodness, of all that, she was out raising money for the war effort when she, that's even worse. I mean, it's bad enough, but that's even worse.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, they were both doing that. Clark Gable was too old to go into the military per se. He was in uniform. He was part of the military, but he was stateside to do drives for the war bonds and war stamps, unlike Glenn Ford and Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart actually flew.
You are a film student.
Ah, yes, indeed. Hand me my PhD, and I'll tell the people in HR here, I have a PhD in entertainment, in cinema. So,
well, if you don't have one, if you don't have a PhD in film knowledge, you should.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Not the same PhD I have. Mine is just piled deep and higher. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a tough cookie. She went through advanced plastic surgery in 1926. However, back in 26, it was understood that anesthesia might make the scars worse. So she endured reconstructive facial surgery after an arm move accident.
Yeah.
No anesthesia.
Right.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Plastic surgery back then, I don't even want to think about it. And I mean, now you practically have an app for it. Yeah, I want a little nip and tuck. Let me get an app for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on. Ah, darn, that Domino's Wi-Fi went out again. Okay, I'll have to get the facelift
there
this week.
Go.
Okay. Okay, but anyway, But, I mean, that was total major surgery. Unlike, as I mentioned now, you can get an app or you can just go into the doctor's office. They can pretty much say, okay, just go over there. You can pretty much almost do it yourself, and I'll guide you through.
Yeah, fill out the app, and you don't have to sign the form. That's, you're done.
I
never went for the nip and tuck. I just went for the nip.
Just one? Oh, never mind.
Just one?
At a time.
She
was in some sort of a car crash. She was in a car crash, wasn't she? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1926, and it cut up her face really bad. So they were going to do this advanced plastic surgery.
Wow.
She was a cute kid.
Yeah. Well, she got lucky. She got a good doctor who knew the science at the time and used it to the best of their ability. So she lucked out on that. Plus the fact she probably had an excellent makeup artist. She probably either had a Westmore or Max Factor, whoever was the top of the tier at that time, and the lighting. It's all about lighting.
All
about light. Yeah. I mean, you see an actor coming out of the studio when you see a lighting, oh my God, what happened to you? go back in there and under the lighting because I can't deal with this right now.
I know that myself.
Well, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, had serious, very intense burns all over her body. What did she become known for? You know, having a glamorous, amazing skin and
I remember that. Because when she was just a little girl, some big pot of cooking soup or whatever.
Something. She grabbed it, pulled it off the stove or something.
Yeah, as children often do. And it just doused her. It didn't get her in the face, but it got her on pretty much where that little bit of cloth that she wears covers up. She's probably had some extra work done since the science has improved immensely since she was a little kid. But anyway, a lot of people have had plastic surgery, and not just to try and shave off a few years or make their nose about 12 inches smaller or what have you.
And all Larry Fine got was a violin.
That's right.
A violin.
But yeah, I think even Merle Oberon, if you remember her from the movie with Leslie Howard, Scarlet Pimpernel, she had some plastic surgery done as well. She had an incident, and she later on married, I think, a director who, director or some tech, he was in the behind the scenes sort of fellow, who invented a certain lighting because you could still see just a hint of the scar, but made so the lighting where you couldn't see the scar when she was in the studio doing her camera work. So
it's amazing these people under such strong lights didn't go blind. I look great, but I can't see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't gone blind for a different reason.
Yeah.
No, for different. I'm
sorry.
Because you didn't listen to your mother.
I'm supposed to be the silent partner tonight, just listening and enjoying Carol Lombard, Bob Hope, and I believe that's June Foray as the dame who looks at the menu.
Oh, I was thinking it would be Benadaret. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is June Foray.
That's what I thought. I thought it was Bea Benadaret.
Is it her, or it might be Bea or June? Sometimes their voices had that similar twang to them.
Yes. When they do
right.
the southern,
yeah.
As the other lady at the restaurant,
lady.
That's who I thought it was.
Lady, I got a perfect cure for a nosebleed. Just put a knife right there.
Yeah. Right in your heart. It'll stop beating. No more blood.
Oh,
no more problem.
Yeah. Hello to everybody in the chat room, by the by.
Yeah, we got Fogsbane and good old Bob sitting in there, too.
Hello. Yeah. But I'm sure you have a lot more radio, and I'm here yammering on.
Oh, that's quite all right. We've got plenty of time today, but we'll go ahead and wrap up Mr. and Mrs. Smith from Lux Radio Theater. Carol Lombard and Bob Hope.
Now Mr. DeMille returns to the microphone. The curtain rises on the third act of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And the goat.
For a solid week, David has been following Anne. By night, by day, by taxicab, by ferryboat, he's trailed her jealously. And now the trail has led, of all places, to David's office.
Good afternoon, Mr. Smith.
Hello, where's my wife?
Well, she...
She came up here, I saw her. Where is she, in my office?
No, sir, she's in Mr. Custer's office.
Oh.
Mr. Custer's parents just arrived from the south. They surprised him.
You mean they're in there now?
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
That's really fine.
Hello, David. Hello, Jeff. Excuse me just a minute, folks. Jeff, what are we going to do about poor old Conley? His case is coming up soon.
Why, you must be David Smith.
Jefferson's partner.
Folks, this is David Smith. My parents, David.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
I'm happy to know you.
The pleasure's all ours.
And, dear, this is Mr. Smith, Jefferson's partner. Miss Anne Klausheimer, Mr. Smith.
Oh, we met some time ago.
Yes, we used to be roommates.
Sit right down, my boy. Sit right down. We'll get acquainted at once. You know, Mr. Smith, Mother and I just met Anne. And we find out now that she and Jeff are both mighty sweet on each other.
Ashley.
Why, David probably knows it better than we do, don't you, David?
Well, if it wasn't for me, they'd never even gotten together. I played Cupid. Caught cold doing it.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Any of your family from the South, Miss Krausheimer?
Well, no, not exactly. But in the Civil War, I had a relative in the North who didn't fight at all. He was a slacker.
A great many Northerners saw it that way, ma'am, and I gave them credit.
You know what I was thinking?
What, Mrs. Custer?
If two people wanted to go on a honeymoon, they could take the boat to New Orleans and motor right up through the South to our home.
A boat's a wonderful place for two people.
Oh, that wouldn't be so good for Anne, would it, dear? Remember how sick you got when we took the night boat to Albany?
Shut up.
No, she's not a very good sailor, Jeff, and I can give you some practical advice. Just put her to bed and put a hot water bottle on her stomach and hold it there no matter how she hollers. That settles his stomach.
he considers himself quite a medical authority.
Yes.
Well, how do you like New York, Mrs. Custer?
Oh, all right, for a visit, but I wouldn't want to live here.
Anyway, we're not staying here. We're on our way to Lake Placid.
Oh, great idea. I was thinking of getting away for some winter sports myself. That reminds me, Anne, shouldn't my laundry be back? I'm all out of shorts.
Are you?
Yes, and lately I've been caught in the draft. Anne kind of took care of his things around the house.
Little household things.
Jefferson, may I see you in private, please? Come, Mother.
Jeff, dear.
Coming, Mother. I'll be right back, Anne. Excuse me. Now, listen, Dad.
Listen to me. I know there's something I have to say.
Hello?
Are you satisfied now? Are you satisfied to take two fine people like that whose whole life are wrapped up in their son and make them unhappy?
Well, what about me being unhappy? My whole life was wrapped up in you, then you, the paper, and the string all walk out on me.
All you ever think about as yourself, I can't see how you could have been associated with Jeff so long and not have picked up some of his fine qualities.
What's fine about them?
Well, he's simple and kind and gentle.
You can leave out those last two words. And since when were you so crazy about this gentle act? Shall I recall for you how I got the scar on my chin? With a bed lamp. Now listen, Anne.
I'm sorry, David, but you're wasting your time.
Anne, you can't marry that lawyer, not after what we've meant to each other.
I'm going to marry him. If you try to interfere again, I'll...
Anne?
Oh, Jeff, is it all right?
No, not yet, but it will be. We're going to meet them at Lake Placid.
Oh, Jeff.
Now, don't worry. And as for you, David, you're not playing the game, old man.
I resent that. I am playing the game, old man. Of course, I'm using loaded dice.
Their cabins are right over here, sir.
Which is Miss Krausheimer's cabin?
Number 10, sir, there. Number 9 is Mr. and Mrs. Custer, and number 8 is Mr. Jefferson Custer. It's pretty far from the main lodge out here, but it's nice and quiet. Now, can I show you the other cabin?
No, thanks. That's all. I'll wait for Miss Krausheimer.
Yes, sir. But I think everybody's out skiing, sir, and...
Fine. Go ahead, son. I'll wait for them right here.
Mr. Smith, you're not going to sit down in the snow.
Why not? I like to sit in the snow. My whole family sat in the snow.
Your whole family?
Well, my brother was a midget. He sat on ice cubes. Go away, will you? This is a free country, isn't it? If I want to sit in the snow, let me sit in the snow. I'm a penguin. So what? Go on, beat it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, Jeff, it was glorious. The snow smells so wonderful.
No one can smell snow, Anne.
I can. Jeff, who's that?
Where?
Well, someone's lying there in the snow.
Oh.
He seems to be sick.
Jeff, it's David.
Oh.
Oh, he must have fainted.
Stand back, dear.
Oh, look at him. He looks terribly ill.
Yeah, he seems to have quite an even pulse.
Oh.
Well, don't let him soak there. Carry him into your cabin.
All right. Grab his legs, Anne.
Oh, I got him. Well, go easy now, Jeff. Easy.
Right.
Oh, what could have happened to him? Oh, look out for his head.
Yes.
Oh, poor David.
He'll be all right now. Don't worry.
Well, he doesn't seem to be breathing.
And control yourself.
Put him on the bed.
Lift now. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, he's frozen. Oh. Look at him. He's blue with cold.
Well, he's breathing fine now. I think a few hours' sleep will bring him around.
Do you really think so?
Sure. Come on now, old man. Wake up, old man.
We'll go away the first 2 weeks in December.
What did he say?
I don't know.
The first 2 weeks in December.
What do you mean?
Oh, we were coming up here the first 2 weeks in December.
Oh, you'll be crazy about it, Anne. 2 weeks in the snow. We'll have a lot of fun.
Look out, Anne. Don't fall now.
Oh, he thinks we're skiing.
You're very graceful, Anne. Don't go so fast next time. I don't want you to get hurt.
Oh, isn't that terrible?
Watch out for the tree. Watch out.
Jeff, look, he's opening his eyes.
Hello. Hello, David. Hello, old man.
Hello, Anne.
No. No, David, this is Jeff.
I'm Anne, David, here.
Oh, hello, Jeff. Don't you think Anne needs a shave?
Hey, he's in bad shape.
David, don't you remember me? Try and think, David. This is Anne, Annie.
This is Jeff, your old school chum, Jefferson.
Oh. Jefferson. I'll never forget you in that little blue dress.
I don't get it.
Well, that's the dress I was wearing when I met him. I told you about me. He liked me in that.
Look, he's closing his eyes again. I think we ought to let him rest.
Well,
what's the matter? That's not the rattle, is it?
I don't think so. I wish I could hear it again. No, he's just clearing his throat.
Oh, he looks awful. Oh, David.
Easy now, Anne. Let him sleep a few hours.
Well, do you think we ought to leave him?
Oh, he'll be all right. Come on outside. I want to talk to you. Anne.
Yes, Jeff?
Anne, a woman can't control herself entirely by her head. You've had 3 years with David, and whether you realize it or not, there's a bond between you that's not easily broken.
Well, people get divorced. Jeff, I'm worried.
It's true that I think you'd be better off with me, but, well, I'll tell you what I'd like you to do. Take back your promise to marry me, and think about it for a few days.
Jeff, I don't think a person ever existed as fine and generous as you are. Don't you think we ought to see how David's getting along?
We'll only wake him.
Well, I'll see if he's still asleep. I'll look through the window.
Well?
Why the...
What's the matter?
Look at him. He's sitting up. He's a faker. I'll kill him for this.
Easy, Anne. Easy.
Well, let me ask.
Anne.
You wait out here. I want to take care of this alone.
Oh, wait a minute. He's lying down again.
Acting. I'll show him some acting.
And don't bother with him.
Let me alone. I'll be right back. David?
Oh.
Oh, poor David. You're so sick, aren't you?
Oh.
David, please look at me. I'm so sorry for everything, darling. I've treated you horribly. Your poor face is so thin and worn.
Oh.
That scar on your chin, I did that. I picked up a bed lamp and I hit you with it.
Like this! Oh, no!
Yeah, that woke you up, didn't it?
My head, you've cut... What's the matter with
you? I tell you, you've been found out, you beast. I should have known it was all too convenient your being up here.
Look here, Anne.
The big sympathy act, coming up here and pretending you're on a bat.
I love you, Anne.
Listen to me, David. You pick up and get out of here. I don't ever want to lay eyes on you again. You're just making a nuisance of yourself.
Oh, am I?
Yes, and get your hands off me.
Anne, I don't care what you say. I tell you, you're in love with me.
I tell you, you're crazy.
Anne, I'm not going to give up till the last minute.
This is the last minute.
You're mine and you belong to me. You couldn't have anything to do with that pile of fried chicken out there.
Well, that's what you think. He's twice the man you'll ever be, and we're going to get married.
Okay. If that's the way you want it, I won't stand in your way. I've done all I can, but now I'm through. I'm all washed up. Go ahead. Marry the guy, and I hope you'll be very, very unhappy.
Thank you.
There's only one thing I'd like to say to you before I leave. You're a spoiled, selfish brat, and I'd like to take you across my knee and give you what you deserve.
Ha!
I should have done it years ago.
You just tried.
Maybe if I had, you'd know how to behave.
Get away from me.
Put that lamp down.
Make me.
All right, I'll make you.
Let me go. Put me down. Put me down, do you hear?
I'll teach you, young lady.
Yeah!
Just what is this?
Put me down. Oh, Jeff, he was going to choke me.
He was.
Come on, Jeff, join the fun.
Here, you take a lamp too, Jeff.
I don't need a lamp.
You'd better take it, because I'm thinking of taking one.
I forgive you, David. I forgive you for everything.
Jeff, you're not going to hit him?
No, Anne. I've always thought that violence shows a lack of character.
You mean you're not going to do anything to him?
Would you respect me more if I knocked him down?
What are you, big blubber? What kind of a man are you? How could you be in love with a woman and let someone manhandle her?
Hello, son.
You ought to be ashamed.
Hello, Dad.
Did you have a nice day, Dad?
You call yourself a man.
Hello, Mother.
You're nothing but a coward.
What's this?
You and your fancy ideals.
Yes, dear.
That's what you are, a coward. Why, he's only half your size. I bet he could lick you with one hand behind his back.
Yes.
Anne, do you realize you're raising your voice?
Certainly I'm raising my voice.
Go on, I've been married to her. She starts at that pitch.
I never saw you acting like this. I thought you were a gentle type of girl.
Very gentle. All you have to do is hold her off with a whip and a chair.
Jefferson, I forbid you to marry this woman.
You forbid him to marry me?
No, Anne.
Listen to me, you stuffed shirt. Even a mouse has enough backbone to fight sometime. You know, taking your hat off in an elevator doesn't make you a man. You can teach a monkey to do that. And I'll take a monkey any day, whether he's a dipsomaniac or beats his wife in a lump of well-bred jelly.
Atta girl!
But I'm not taking you, brother. So let me out of here. Let me out of here before I forget I'm a lady.
That was one of her quieter moments. Anne, are you in there? Anne, I'm coming in.
Get out of here.
Hello.
Did you hear me?
What are you doing with those skis?
I'm going skiing.
At this time of night, don't be silly. You haven't even got a rear light. Take them off.
They're on and they're staying on. I'm spending the night at the lodge.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why don't you spend the night here?
Not on your life, brother. Would you mind handing me that sweater, please?
I would. Get it yourself.
I can't. I've got my skis on.
Well, then get a ball of wool and start knitting one.
Okay, I'll get it.
Very graceful. You look like a stork that just came in for a forced landing. Good night. You're not doing me any favor staying here. I'd just soon you'd get out.
Well, we see eye to eye.
Wait a minute. You can't ski with your strap loose. I'll fasten it for you.
Get away.
Don't be silly. I'm just going to help you get out. Here, sit down. That's right.
Well, now, just a minute.
Now, put your feet up here. Good.
Well, listen, I can't sit with my feet up in the air.
Why? I think you look very comfortable.
David Smith, let me up out of here.
Can't you move?
Of course. course I can't. My skis are crossed. Get me up out of this chair.
Troublesome things, those skis. You're quite sure you just can't get up by yourself?
I just told you.
Fine, then we can talk a while.
David Smith, I'm warning you.
In the first place, I ought to tell you that we're still married. Mind if I take off my tie?
Now, listen.
Gimble versus the New Pennsylvania Coal Company doesn't hold in this case since we're concerned chiefly with the Idaho and Nevada statues. So, you see, I'll hang my shirt over here.
Let me up!
So, you see, you're still my lawful wife. I looked up all this legal tangle, and that man Deaver was all wrong. Our marriage was and is perfectly legal. Now.
I'm warning you, I'll kill you in cold blood. Someday when your back is turned, I'll stab you. Let me up! I'll scream, I tell you!
Go on, scream! Louder! Go on, bang your feet. See what good it does you. Go ahead, great! But you're my wife! And you're going to stay right here whether you like it or not. How do you like that?
My ski fell off. See that? You said I couldn't get away, see? My ski fell off.
Well?
Well, David, put it on again.
Ann.
Two talented stars and two delightful people gave us a delightful evening in the Lux Radio Theater. And here they are, Carol Lombard and Bob Hope.
Oh, thank you, C.B. And Carol, would you mind giving me an autographed picture to take home? I want to prove to the gang in my program that I really wasn't a play with you.
Oh, glad to, Bob. How do you want it inscribed?
Oh, just something simple, like to the finest actor in Hollywood.
Oh, I thought it was for you. Do you really think you're Hollywood's greatest actor, Bob?
Well, I'd rather not answer that, Mrs. Gable. Say, that reminds me about the road to Zanzibar.
What reminds you?
Oh, anything at all, C.B. I've got a great idea. Would you like to hear some of the best parts of the road to Zanzibar?
But, Bob, I've seen the picture.
Well, then, would you care to reminisce?
Bob, I haven't seen the road to Zanzibar yet. Tell me, how is it?
How is the road to Zanzibar?
Yes.
You know, I've always dreamed about moments like this. Well, I really had a swell time here, C.B., and I'd like to have both you and Carol come over to my program and try the Pepsi.
Remember what I told you, Bob. This is the Lux Radio Theater.
Oh, but couldn't I just say...
But while you two are playing tag, I'd like to say just a word about Lux Soap. I've used it for years, and I think it's grand. It's such a gentle complexion care and really a wonderful help in keeping skin smooth. Now, I may have told your audience this before, Mr. DeMille, but I haven't changed my mind one bit about Lux Soap.
And you never will, Carol. Lux Soap keeps its friends for life.
Well, now, before you tell us about next week's show, C.B., couldn't I get in one quick mention of Pepsi?
Nah, Bob.
C.B., my sponsor's listening.
What about it?
Well, if I don't mention the product, he starts playing yo-yo with my option. So all I'm asking is just to say Pepsi.
Yes, Bob. I understand. And next week in the Lux Radio Theater, we go Western. With a current screen success and the original stars of the picture, Loretta Young, Robert Preston, and Edward Arnold. The play is The Lady from Cheyenne. It's adapted from Frank Lloyd's Universal production. A rousing story of the Wyoming frontier in the days before women could vote, and how a beautiful school teacher outwits the whole state legislature to win the ladies the right to vote.
You can count me in on the audience with a cast like that, Mr. DeMille. Good night.
Good night, Carol. Your performance was really wonderful.
Oh, C.B., aren't you forgetting somebody?
Well, if I am, Bob, I'm just being kind.
Oh, wait a minute, C.B. I appeal to the women listeners. I leave it to Carol. Don't I, Carol, appeal to the women listeners? Well, I appeal to the men listeners, don't I, C.B.? Well, there are 16 million kids in this country. Good night.
Good night. Hollywood has a word for stars like you two. Colossal. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Loretta Young, Robert Preston, and Edward Arnold in The Lady from Cheyenne. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood. United Service Organizations, the new civilian army behind our Army and Navy, are conducting a drive that should have the backing of every loyal American. There is a USO headquarters in your community, and they'll be glad to tell you how you can help in this great work. Bob Hope will be heard on the Luella Parsons program over this same network next Friday night in a preview of his new Paramount picture, Caught in the Draft. Our music is directed by Louis Silvers, and your announcer has been Melville Roy. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I think we're back. Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Dale?
Hello?
Are you back? Dale?
Hello, Dave? Dave?
I see
Dave.
You there, Dale.
Gar?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
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 Oh, my.
Hello?
Hello?
No, Dale's having trouble just getting in here. Let's see. There we go. I guess we need to. Oh, come on. Where is that at?
Okay. Is Gar still there?
Gar is still here. And CW is still here. And Dale is in the room, but I don't think we can hear him.
Dale?
So as a result. In absence of Dale, who's here, it's time for another presentation of Gar's Moral of the Story.
Here we go. During an experiment, if the elements and decisions are the same, yet the outcomes are different, when you weren't looking, someone changed the rules. Or never marry the enemy. Yeah.
There you go. Are you back, Dale? He's not. He's going to call back in again. So we have
wow.
More fun. So,
outstanding blog
talk. Dale got disconnected from his he got disconnected from the online there. And because he had a direct hookup. Now he's trying to use
if
the
you
phone.
Can hear
thing.
A... Oh, yeah. If you can hear us, Dale, use Burger King's Wi-Fi. It's better.
Burger King's Wi-Fi is better.
All right. Well,
and
I'll try that.
It's own special sauce. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, Dale,
I'll try
here.
That. Can you guys hear me now?
We can hear you now.
I hear you
now.
Oh,
wow. As a warning to everyone, there will probably be no after party because when he gets disconnected, it cuts us off at the two-hour mark.
That's right.
So just to let everyone know here.
So we have 13 minutes.
thereabouts.
Not even.
12 minutes, yeah.
We have 12 minutes. We have 8 minutes.
Time for 8 minutes.
3 minutes.
Three. What? Oh, my gosh.
6 seconds.
2.8 nanoseconds.
Gar, you haven't done it for a while. Why don't you go ahead and hit the wheel there once.
Okay. There you go.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
We stroll the lane together, laugh at the rain together. Sang love's refrain together, and we both pretend it would never end. Ah, gee, isn't that beautiful, huh? One day we cried together. Ah, you're gone for me, but in my memory,
they go together. Dad and mother, they go together. Why can't we go together? Crook and Crosby, they go together. George and Gracie, they go together. Shaky and Tracy, they go together. And why can't we go together? One day we stole the land together.
Cass Daly. Hey, Dale, correct me because you're the only one here old enough with me to maybe remember this. I think the only thing I really remember her from, I think she was a regular panelist when Gary Moore hosted To Tell the Truth. Do you remember that?
I don't know. Didn't
what was
watch
the name
a
of
lot
of
Francis. Anne Francis was on there.
Yeah, Anne Francis. Kitty Carlisle Hart was there. There was the what's that? Harry Morgan, not the Harry Morgan from MASH, but another.
Oh, you're thinking Harry Morgan. You're thinking Henry.
Yeah.
Was it Bill Cullen was on there? Wasn't it Bill Cullen? Wasn't he on there?
Nick Cullen was a panel. Yeah, Cullen.
Yeah.
There was also Dorothy Kilgallen. Before she passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was, boy, that was a big room there.
Mysteriously.
Mysterious. Ooh. Ooh. Unsolved.
That was a
whole
thing.
Sort of
the panel
thing.
At the same time. No. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steve Allen did it for a while.
Yeah, Steve Allen. That's right. Yeah.
Well,
Steve
he hosted
it. Yeah,
he hosted another rendition of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he was on the panel.
Daly,
Daly began
yeah, he was on the panel, too.
He began.
Yeah.
She began singing as a child in front of neighborhood storefront. She was known.
Uh-oh.
Did we get cut off?
Dave, are you there?
I think we lost Dave. We lost Dave.
We lost Dave.
Okay, well, you lost you. You lost Dave.
Dave. What was the name of the room again?
SCW?
Yeah,
what
I'm
we'll
still
do,
here. Are you...
We'll do to wait for Dave. We'll just pop on a real quick tune.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we'll be back with part two of The Drive-In. With
and, of course, that was Harry James, also known as Mr. Betty Grable.
Mr. Betty Grable. Mr. Yeah. Betty Grable. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure his ego liked that. Most guys can't deal with that sort of thing.
I don't know if anybody actually ever called him that, but yeah, but yeah, but they were married. They were married for some time there. Yeah.
So perhaps he had more.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say perhaps he had more strength of character than a lot of other men in history whose wives made the grade, and the guys, you know, were in the back. In the corner.
Yeah. Right.
Where
yeah,
guys
he
belong.
No slouch. He was no slouch in talent. He was quite the trumpeter there. Quite the trumpeter there.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
In the vein of Halloween, do you guys remember the Walt Disney Studio released an LP called The Haunted Mansion in 1969?
I do remember that, yes.
Was that part of Halloween tradition for you to listen to that? During October?
No, it wasn't for me. No.
No. Oh, okay.
Okay, I didn't know they had an album like that. I've been to the Haunted Mansion in Disney World, which is great.
I think there is.
Was that? I'm sorry. Not Haunted Mansion. Was it the Haunted Hotel? Yeah, the Twilight Zone. I'm sorry. It's the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror that I visited once.
That's Universal Studios, isn't it?
No, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror was at Disney World. I know,
Disney
I went
World.
On that ride. Yeah, I went on that ride six times. They had a hard time getting me off. It was great.
Okay. The Haunted Mansion, you went in there and sat down, and you were moved in the seat you were in. You were moved throughout this ride. And it was all kind of spooky, scary, sing-along, fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. When you go inside this, I don't know if they still have this particular exhibit there. They change their exhibits every 25 seconds. But the exhibit you went in, and it's a lobby of a posh 1920s hotel, very well-dressed, very set up. Then you go behind a bookcase, and then you hear the Twilight Zone theme, and then you see an actor who's doing a very good imitation of Rod Serling. You see all the props in the Twilight Zone. You see the devil coin machine, the Talkie Tina. And then you go into the back, and there is the basement. And
the
then you head into the rock.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Okay.
There's no one left but me and him.
I couldn't find him.
Next we meet in Frankenstone.
See you guys. See you tomorrow.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?